Hello!
Hi!
We are at Channel 9 Live. We are at NDC Oslo 2017, having a blast. I'm John Galloway, and I'm talking to Magnus Mortensen.
Yes, that's right.
He's going to be blowing our mind with some Azure stuff.
No pressure then.
So Magnus, you just did a talk on this recently.
I did a talk on this, yes. It's a good, solid talk, and I think it's the kind of talk where when people walk out of the room, they're like, ha, I had no idea I could do that.
Okay, so cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, exactly.
That's what we're going to be showing. But first of all, who is Magnus Mortensen?
Well, so I run my own company, Loftysoft, out of Sweden, and my base, you know, my day-to-day job is to consult and help people get on Azure. I see a lot of cases where people are trying to get on Azure, and, you know, they have some challenges.
Okay.
You can go happy-go-lucky for a long time and just party on, and you should be happy, so that's good, right?
Right.
But effective, not always the case.
Right. So if I'm just going through and clicking my way through the portal, that doesn't scale very well, right?
Exactly.
So I'm doing the same things over and over.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was the first guy to become an Azure MVP in the Nordic countries.
Wow.
So I've been with the cloud since since its inception, basically.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of cases. Like, I've been from, you know, very large companies, you know, maybe selling furniture in Sweden or something, to down to literally basements where you walk down into the basement and there's the company, right?
Wow.
So I've seen
all scales.
I've seen all scales, yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then when you're not doing this, you run the Global Azure Bootcamp as well,
yes.
right?
Yes. Well, I don't.
Or you help run that.
Yeah, we help run it. Yes, exactly. There's an important distinction there. We're kind of coordinating, right?
Okay.
There's a team of us, like seven people, who we run the website and we coordinate. We get some global sponsors and stuff.
Okay.
And then it's like hundreds of people running their user group events, right, all over the world. This April here, it was 250 locations, as I recall.
Wow,
250.
That's great.
And it was from New Zealand to Hawaii, literally all time zones.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool.
So, and that's all on one day or one weekend?
It's all on one specific day
is
when we run it. So literally thousands of people are engaged with this. We have awesome pictures from, you know, locations in Kenya, in Nepal, in Germany, everywhere.
And how do people get involved with that for the next one?
They just sign up on the site, basically.
Okay.
If you run a user group, you go to global.azurebootcamp.net and you sign up on the site. That will get you into our email list.
Okay.
And then we'll tell you when the next one is. It's going to be in the spring.
And I like that you're using global as the subdomain, because now you can scale up to
anything,
planetary, solar system.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Universal.
We're going galaxy next time. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
That's right.
So let's dig into, we had the cliffhanger earlier.
Yes.
You were showing how people can optimize their work for when they're doing repetitive tasks with
Azure. Correct. So the thing here is that you can go to the portal and start clicking around and creating resources. That's great. And at some years into that, your resource consumption will be all over the place, because you don't know what you have and don't, like, whose database is that?
Right.
Can I delete that database? Is it important? Because it's costing us a ton of money.
I have to tell you, my previous group in Microsoft and DX, we had regular emails. Can we delete all this stuff? Who made this? What's going on, right?
Correct.
So it's a common problem everywhere.
Yes, and there's help to be had, right? And this will teach you, help you to optimize your resource usage.
Okay.
And I think there's a funny thing in there. If we teach, you know, I don't work at Microsoft, you do, but if we teach everyone to use Azure more optimized, as in, would they use it less? Would they pay less money to Microsoft? Great question. I would say it's the opposite, because they learn how to use it properly, and they would be enabled to use it more.
Okay.
They
wouldn't,
you know,
be slowed down by clicking, right?
And they would know what they're doing.
Yeah. All right, so show me something here.
Okay, cool. So with resources in Azure, it starts with templates. And this is a template. It's a JSON template. This one is completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show you to deploy. I could run this template against Azure, and nothing would happen, because there are no resources listed here.
Okay.
You put resources inside of this tag here. So let's skip to another one, which has one resource. The simplest possible template that I could dream up.
Okay.
Is this one.
All right. So that's creating a storage account. You're defining where.
That's right.
You can read this.
And that's exactly right. Anyone can read this. It's declarative, and you can execute this template against the management API of Azure and, you know, fire it off. And this resource will be created.
Let me ask you a question here. So I see at the top level, Microsoft.storage storage accounts. Mm-hmm. Where did you get that value from? How do I find out what to use?
So you can, the easiest way actually to create a template, mm-hmm. We'll actually run a template and I'll show you in the portal later, but the easiest way is to go to the portal and click and deploy the things you want to have in your deployment.
Okay.
And once you have done that, you can extract the template from it.
Got it.
And
okay.
then you have your template. Then you can execute this template however many times you want, maybe with different parameters, and send one deployment to China and one deployment to the US or, you know.
Right. So this basically captures the state of the clicking in the portal.
That's right. That's a good way of seeing it. It's very declarative, and it's like desired state configuration management for resources, really.
Got it.
Right?
Okay.
So awesome. Let's move to another template, and I'll show you which has a little bit more, because there are no parameters and stuff involved here.
Right.
So this is a slightly longer template, but it's still quite simple. But it does have a couple of parameters coming in. And here's the point, how you can be optimal in deploying your environments. You can have one template which describes the resources you need, mm-hmm. and then you execute that with one set of parameters maybe for your development environment, and another set of parameters for your production environment.
Okay.
So you
right.
can have, you so, know,
so
you know,
so for development,
they will
I don't want to spend too much money, I want to have the yeah. same sorts of resources, but maybe not as big.
Because you need the exact same resources to be able to deploy your application to. Mm-hmm. But of course, for the production environment, you would want to have high-level resources that are for production use.
Right. Okay.
So it'll take a website name here, and it'll take the SKU. That's the mm-hmm. size of the machine you will be running on. The default here is to run on the F1 size. That's the free tier, right?
Okay.
But I could select any one of these combinations here, or any one of these allowed values, and
yep.
go with a big premium if
yeah.
that's what I need.
Okay.
And also the next one here is the SKU capacity, which a default value of one, as in how many instances am I running?
Right. Okay.
So let's execute this in just a second. But first, let's look at the parameter files. Here's a parameter file. It specifies the same parameters, and
right.
this is for my development environment, and it's going to use the defaults for the SKU size and the instance count. So it's going to be one single F1 size.
But you are declaring the name of the site.
Yeah,
right?
So they have different names, all of them.
Okay.
And then I have my testing environment. That's for the testers to actually click around on my site.
Right.
So I'm using a B1 size there. It's still cheap. It's just one instance, but they can click around and they can do stuff,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
And then for production, I might go with something larger. In this case, I have the S1 size, standard one size, and two instances.
Two instances of it,
right?
Okay.
For load balancing.
All right.
So this is what we have. Now, I can go into the portal and upload this and run it from the portal. You can do a template deployment inside of the portal as
okay.
possible, but we're not going to do that. We're going to be a little bit more fancy and go to PowerShell.
Okay.
So I have defined my environments here. Here they are.
All right.
So these are my files, right?
Okay.
My parameter files, 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. and development, testing, and production.
Okay.
Then I have a short script block here, which I will call for each set of parameters.
Okay. And did you write this whole? Did you write this?
Yeah,
script
I wrote
yourself?
This. I wrote this myself. Yeah.
All right.
But there's guidance and help, and literally to be able to run templates from the command line, super easy. It's just two things you need to do. Like you need to log in.
Sure.
You select your subscription. Right?
Okay.
And then you make a resource group deployment. We haven't talked much about resource groups yet. Let's do that. And then you can do the actual deployment of your template.
Great.
So that's the, you know, the four different things I need to do for each environment, and then I for each, right?
Just loop through it.
Right.
Okay.
So if we fire this thing off, it starts, it runs jobs in the background here.
Okay.
So they are now deploying. They're doing this now. Logging into Azure, sending up the template. The template will be validated, and the management API will start to provision these, you know, things that I have defined.
How do you know when it's done, other than just going to the portal? Is there a way, can you
Yeah, so
check?
I can actually get job here and see that they're still running. I'm F5 or F8, in fact.
Yeah.
But I'm I can get the status back.
Very
on them.
Nice.
And
okay.
once they are done, you can actually receive the job and you can get the output from them as well. So I can probably, if I want to store the output somewhere and have that indexed or something.
Right. Okay.
We can do that. Anyway, up in the portal, here's the portal. We have our things are currently being deployed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's they've already almost provisioned.
Wow.
At least these resource groups again. Now we're back to that resource group thing.
Yeah, yeah. One of these days I'm going to make you define that.
So resource groups is like a bucket.
Okay.
You have to have every resource you provision, a storage account, a web application. It doesn't matter. They always have to be in a resource group.
Okay.
And that's just a place for you to put your stuff.
Now, why don't I just create one resource group and throw everything in there?
Well, because
what value do
yeah,
they give
so
me?
They might not have the same sort of life cycle. If you have one resource group with 150 resources, it's going to be difficult to figure out which is what.
Okay.
And we'll get back to exactly that. So okay. Let's see what we got now. If I click on my dev environment, there it is. It's deployed.
Okay.
You have to have, so it deployed two resources. One is the app service plan, which is about the size and the power of my application. And the other one is my web app. So we could browse to that right now.
Great.
But let's click on this, just quickly show that for the app service plan, the size of this, it's on the free tier.
Mm-hmm.
It says free right here. Pricing tier free, F1, that's what we ordered, right?
Yeah.
And there's, if I click in here, there's one instance. So it deployed exactly what I asked, obviously, and what I specified in terms of size and number of instances and that sort of stuff.
Let me ask you, and I don't want to steal your thunder here, but you said that you can export the template out of here. Can you show me where
absolutely.
I would get that?
Absolutely right. So here's the automation script button. I can see the exact, it's going to load up. Yeah, there we go.
There's that template.
This is the exact template that we can extract out from, get it back, basically.
Great. Okay.
So if I go and deploy everything to Azure,
mm-hmm.
I set everything up the way I need it to be, my databases, what have you, storage accounts, and then I can extract out the template from there. So
And I can put that in source control or something.
And that's
right?
typically what you would do. You would check it into source control, and then you can do very fancy things with that. Let's say.
Number one, I could call myself a DevOps person.
Yes.
Then.
And
right.
that
so
alone, I mean, it's worth it. So
yes.
worth it.
Okay.
But other than that, what you can do, which I find is really cool, you can do fancy things like set up a continuous deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people start doing this more and more. You run your build, you push your code, and it's get, you know, built and unit tested and stuff, then a template deployment kicks in, provisions resources in Azure,
okay.
makes the deployment of your application to those resources,
mm-hmm.
and runs maybe a load test.
Okay.
And once the load test is done, you get all the data from the load test, you delete the environment automatically. So you only literally pay for the few moments or minutes when you're running your load
test.
So
I'm not having to remember to go in and click delete on
They're
the resource group.
They're just gone the way
okay.
they should be, right?
Right.
So anyway, here's what you can get. But there's one other place I want to show you this. We have several things we need to talk about here. Access control was one.
Great.
Access control is really awesome because you can now put, and you've been able to do this for a while, but I see most people really don't. Back in the day, access to an Azure subscription was completely binary. You either didn't have access or
right.
you had access to everything.
Right.
And there was room for error.
Maybe not the best.
There was room
yeah.
for error there, right? And people started, organizing access by getting more subscriptions, right? And it's a mess.
So a developer on my team, maybe if
yep.
I joined your team,
yep.
you may not want to give me full access to everything, but maybe you
That's
want
right.
to allow me to work in the dev environment.
That's right. So for our environments, for instance, right, we have our dev, test, and our production environment.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's pretty normal to set the developer team as a group, create a group in the AD, and grant access to that group to maybe be contributor level, so
okay.
they can do changes on the development environment.
All right.
But maybe read-only. Only read-only on the production environment because
okay.
they're not. They can see it, they can look at the status of it, but they can't change it.
So I see in this case, you've
yeah.
made Demo Dave
Demo
a
Dave,
contributor.
He's a contributor, Demo Dave. He works at my office.
All right,
he's a good guy. So he's a contributor here. He can make changes to this environment. So
okay.
this actually gives him a very big access level. I could change that if I wanted to, but literally it's very easy. You just click Add, and you find a suitable role. You can make custom custom roles if you want to, but usually you don't need them because you can just select any of the built-in roles here. I think it's loading pretty slow. So you have owner, contributor, reader, log analytics contributor. There's a bunch of roles.
All right.
So you'll choose a role which is suitable for the context because you don't want to be able to make the mistake of changing the production environment when you didn't intend to.
You want to give very granular roles so people do what should and shouldn't be able to make a mistake.
And
a big mistake.
Just small ones.
Right.
So can I tell you the secret about Azure?
Yes, please.
Okay. So here's the secret about Azure.
Everyone listen close.
Yes, right. Listen close. There's another site which you can go to. It's this, resources.azure.com.
What is happening?
And there's at resources.azure.com, you can scroll down into your deployments. So in this case, my user here, I'm logged in as myself. I have access to these subscriptions.
Okay.
Let's go to the one which MVPs get, where I did my demo deployment here, drill down to my resource groups,
those
are the exact ones, right?
Okay.
So here's, for instance, when I go down into my production environment, I can find my web resources. My app service plan is actually called a service farm underneath.
It's
a little known secret there. But here's the template. Here are all the properties of my server farm. Okay? Everything. So if I click on it, I can really do things such as, I need to scroll down far here. What if I say edit? I can edit my my properties.
Edit,
yes, I can. And it's queue capacity. You remember we set it to two size, S1 size and two instances? What if I set it to 8 and hit put? So this is a RESTful API. I am now making
a
change.
URL.
I am now exactly making the change to my environment, and I have 8 instances running right now because I just made the change. And so the secret of Azure is this, basically this line here. Let me zoom in on that so you can all see the secret. This is the management endpoint / subscriptions, right? And that's the unique subscription identity for my subscription right there.
Right.
It's no secret or anything. It's just every one of them has an ID. Exactly right. And then the / resource groups, and here's the name of my resource group, right?
Okay.
And then / providers, and we had the Microsoft.web/ server farm provider.
Right.
And then it's difficult to see here at the end, but let's get out of there. And that's the name of my deployment, right?
Okay.
So you see all the way from the root, let's say that your subscription could be the root of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Your resource groups would then typically be your branches. And then all the resources would be the leaves.
Underneath that.
And if you have many, many subscriptions, you got a little forest going on there.
Right.
So you may have thought, everybody may have thought before, that Azure is a cloud. It's not. It's a forest. So that is the
very
secret.
Nice. Okay.
That's the secret.
So now you've shown me kind of beginning to end. Mm-hmm. We've got starting with some templates and some scripts, you provision things. And then you can go in and both in the portal and here, you can dig in and you can say what is actually what's live.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of pull this back and update your scripts if you wanted to.
Exactly right. And just the knowledge that Azure is just a hierarchical, thing with the resource groups and the resources, just that knowledge alone makes people go, I had no idea.
Right. So, as you pointed out earlier, too, this gives you the ability to manage things better, right?
Yeah.
So I can know, I can delete an entire resource group, or I could delete just a smaller thing,
exactly.
And I can also give permissions.
And yes, and on the notion of managing things, there's also a whole tagging system. Any resource can have 15 key value pair tags. You define the key, you define the value, you just associate some metadata with your resources.
Okay, and it's up to me.
Let me show you where I did that, by the way, just real quick. So it's in my template, I have the tags. There they are.
Nice.
So I define these tags in my template, and they go with my deployment, and they tag my resource.
Okay.
So what I do with that, I can go to the portal, for instance, and I can see, so R&D department, which resources do they have?
Okay.
Well, they have these resources, the ones that I just deployed for this demo, right?
Right. Okay.
The production environment, those resources.
So for the bean counters, they can go in and they can say, how much is R&D costing us?
Yeah, exactly,
this month?
The Excel people, right?
Okay.
In the bill you get at the end of the month, the tags follow along with the bill. So now you can literally see for a chargeback between departments exactly which environment's costing what. You can put a nice graph on that. Is the cost going up for research and development, or is it staying the same, or what's happening?
And in this case, you used for each environment, you just threw the same tags on it, but they don't have to all match up, meaning I could have some tags that are in both QA and production.
You will see everything that you have tagged here, and honestly, there should never be a resource anywhere in your subscription which isn't properly tagged. Okay. You figure out in your company what tags are relevant, department name, owner, team, which environment, you know, it's up to you.
Purpose, project.
Exactly right, Okay. But then you can literally go and just filter and find me the resources for this project, the production environment.
Okay.
Or, you know, it's really easy to do.
Okay, so there's billing. Is there anything else I can do with that? Can I navigate to resources? Can I get a list of?
Yeah, they're right here. I mean, I clicked on the tag right here.
Yeah.
Exactly. So and the name environment was my... selected that, I can change any tag.
Okay.
And I said that it was going to be called environment, and the value of that is production.
Got it.
So,
okay.
So that was in my template parameters. I was able to tag them differently, development, production, and test. And now I can filter down and see exactly which resources are what.
That's an example of something where if I'm clicking by hand, I might forget to assign those tags. But since you've got them in a script.
That's right. That's right.
Just always going to happen.
You should have that. And there's actually, you can apply policy to your subscription saying tags are mandatory.
If
you do that, however, it's actually quite easy to do. It's something called policy. So go and search for like Azure policies and you'll find that. And policy is something you apply to your subscription. You could set it on subscription level, on a resource group level, or down on an individual resource. And it governs what you're allowed to do. A really good example is that maybe developers think it's kind of funny to deploy Godzilla-sized machines.
Right.
But Godzilla-sized machines are really, really expensive, and they're going to cost your company quite a bunch of money.
Right.
So you can institute a policy that says if the size of the VM you're deploying is Godzilla, deny. And it's going to effectively not deploy.
Right.
So you can do that. And if you would do that with tags, saying the department tag is required, that actually means that you can almost not use the portal anymore because you can't apply tags to a resource in the portal until after the fact.
Ah, oh, nice. Right? Okay, so that's a good way to troll your coworkers.
That is a great way to do it. That's how I would do it.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, a lot. Well, again, like maybe like to sort of sum up, all these things are actually quite easy to do.
Okay.
And I'm a consultant, so I go to lots of different companies, and almost nobody does this well.
Okay.
Because they don't know about it, and or when they do, they go like, this is great. I can really use this. Yes, but I think it's about knowledge at this point. They don't know that this stuff exists.
Okay, so show me if I want to learn more, if I want to get in deeper. So one thing was I could export those templates, right?
Yep.
Show me where I can learn more about this. Where's
documents
or something?
There's a really good place
to go
to. Documents. There's a really good place to go to.
Ah.
So open your favorite Bing and search for Azure Quick Start Templates and GitHub, and you will land here. And let me click on the top one there. I'll see that there's literally hundreds of templates already, you know, created by the community and just put in here. I can click into any one of these and actually, let's say I want a Redis cache. Why not? You know?
Right.
Here's a template. I can see what that template looks like, and I can literally from here click deploy to Azure. And that template will be moved over to Azure, and that resource will be deployed.
So when I click deploy to Azure, it's going to use my authenticated subscription that
That's
I've logged in as.
You can do it right now. So it comes into this custom deployment thing in Azure.
Now you're just showing off.
I know, right? But it's really, I find myself going back to this resource often, actually, to look at what is a good way of doing this resource as a template. So you can go here and copy paste, and everything is, you know, available. So this is now a custom Redis cache deployment.
Wow.
In Azure, I can fiddle with the parameters and hit purchase.
But
it's
no
nice
reason,
to purchase.
But no reason to start from scratch. I can go and look at a community created.
And again,
template.
Once I have my deployment set up just so, exactly the way I need it to be, I can just take the template from there and check the template into my source code repository next to my code, and we have the environment exactly, you know, forever, and we can deploy it however many times we want.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I learned a ton. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks. It was good to be here.
All right, so we're wrapping up. Somebody else will be speaking soon about something else, and stay tuned.
That will be awesome.